Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything that hath breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll praise
in the valley. Praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. Praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered. Praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise when I feel it, and I'll praise when I don't. I'll praise 'cause I know you're still in control. 'Cause my praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise 'cause you're sovereign, praise 'cause you reign, praise 'cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true, praise 'cause there's nobody greater than you. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside? I won't be quiet, my God is alive. How can I keep it inside? Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Let everything
that hath breath
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's praise Him this morning. Glory to your name. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is there ever a time that it's not appropriate to praise God? No, never. We can praise Him anytime, anywhere, any place, and in any circumstance. Glory, glory to His name. Oh, thank you, Lord. when you walk into the room. Everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. We love you, and we'll never stop, can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. When you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist when you walk into the room. The dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you do. We love you, and we'll never stop, can't live without you. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you. We love you. And we'll never stop. One more time. When you walk into the room, everything changes. When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just is here at your feet and worship you. Oh, Jesus, we love you, Lord. We love you, and we'll never stop. We can't live without you. God, all we are, we give you permission. Come and consume, God, all we are, we give you permission. permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. Permission, our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you, and we'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. Oh, we glory your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Oh, glory to your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Santo Robra Babakai. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A thousand generations falling down in worship. Sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name above them all throne and dominion, all power and position, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy. To the Lamb, we'll sing the song forever and amen, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy. Your people sing, holy, to the King of Kings, holy, you will always be, holy, holy forever, your name is the highest.
Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for loving us, Lord, so much. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for laying your hand upon us. Thank you, Lord, for all the benefits that you daily load upon us. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here with you in your presence today. Father, we just pray for the increased awareness of who you are and what it is you want to do in us. We just give you thanks. We just give you thanks today, Lord. You are good. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in our getting near the end of our first round of 5-Minute Foundations. We are number 13 today. And if you have these, and we put these here so you can fill them out and actually keep them. A friend of mine says a short pencil is better than a long memory. Okay, so if you write this in here, you will have that. And so you will see us as we come to the end of our first round. I think, anyhow, we're going to just go back to number one and we're going to start again. And then we're going to start again. And by the time we are done, anyone in this place, we will come up here and give the lesson. You're going to know it so well. Amen? So today we are looking at overcoming temptation. Okay, this is a very important one. And I guess the first thing to say about this is to preface it, is to overcome temptation, we first of all have to want to overcome it. Okay, that's a whole other message right there. But if you've made peace with something in your life that is displeasing to God, there's something that needs to happen there. But once we come to the place where we say, you know, I have this temptation, there's something going on, and I really want to overcome it, this will help. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is an enticement to sin or to be disobedient. The source of temptation can be the world, it can be the flesh, it can be the devil, it can come from any place, and everyone is tempted. Every one of us here faces temptation. Even Jesus was tempted. Temptation, though, is not sin. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, as we are, yet without sin." So if you have a temptation come on you, don't think, "Oh, what a horrible person I am. I just have this." No, even Jesus was tempted. In fact, it says he was in all points tempted as we are. But there's something we can do to overcome that. Giving in to temptation is when sin happens. The first thing we should do, number one, there's four A's here, is avoidance. Sometimes we find ourselves in the place where sin is, where you have a weakness. Okay, if you have a weakness to drink, probably shouldn't be hanging out in bars. You avoid it. You get out of there. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youth, also youthful lusts. You think about the example of Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house and his wife was being tempting to him. He just ran out of there. He got out of there. We're told in the Bible that we're to flee youthful lust. And we're told that we're to resist the devil. Christians sometimes try to resist lust and flee the devil. We got it backwards. Get away from it. That's the first thing you do. The second thing is adoration. As you're tempted and you just turn your heart, you take that moment, you can begin to, can be a scripture verse that you can begin to recite, can begin to pray, maybe sing a song that really touched your heart, just to kind of bring you in a place where you're touching God afresh. And you begin to have this sense of his presence. A friend of mine once, he was a road warrior. He was going to all these different places. He would set up these machines for these factories. And he'd go in there and he'd say, I go in there and he says, there's this stuff they put on the wall that I'm looking at. I don't want to look at that, but it gets in my head. I don't know what to do. I told him, start memorizing scripture. And when you're in there and you're doing this, just start going through the scripture that you know. Start meditating that scripture. And he came back later and he said, you know what, that absolutely got my mind in the right place, got it towards God. So we need to move into adoration. Third is assistance. We need to go to God. Go to Jesus. Hebrews 4:14-16. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us, with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Here we go. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Go to God. Go to Jesus. Talk to him about this. And the fourth thing is accountability. Sometimes we need to get others involved. As a matter of fact, everybody should have somebody who has the right to ask you any question about your life at any time, and you give them an honest answer. If you don't have someone like that in your life, you probably need to get one. We need accountability. James 5:16 says, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Bringing others into the equation and knowing that there's someone who's going to ask some difficult questions at some time is a great way to avoid falling into temptation. Overcoming temptation is something we can do. Four A's.
Amen. It is possible. Glory be to God. Let's stand one more time and bless God. If you love his name.
Bless God in the sanctuary. Bless God in the fields of plenty. Bless God in the darkest valley. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God for the pain that cost me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my cup is warming. Bless God when the clouds are falling. Bless God when he goes before me. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God for the victory. Bless God for he's with me. Bless God for he's always worthy. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Oh.
Bless God in the sanctuary, in the fields of plenty, wherever we are.
Bless God in the sanctuary. Bless God in the fields of plenty. Bless God in the darkest valley. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my hands are empty. Bless God when they cost me. Bless God when nobody's watching. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God when my weapons fall. Bless God when my arms are falling. Bless God when he goes before me. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Bless God for he holds the victory. Bless God for he's always with me. Bless God for he's always worthy. Every chance I get, I bless your name. Every chance I get, I bless your name. And praise the
bless your name, Lord. Oh, we bless your name.
we thank you that we can bless your name wherever we go, because you're always worthy. You're always with us. Your word is true. You're faithful. We bless your name, Father. Thank you that you are a good God, and we can trust you, and every single word you said is true. Thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Father. Oh, we give you glory today, Father. Glory, glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Bless God, because He's always worthy. He is always worthy. He's not more worthy one day or another, or whether we feel like it or not. So the scriptures kind of command us to actually to bless and praise His name. And you know, I've discovered in my life when I'm faithful to do that, even when I don't feel like it, my feelings have a way of lining up with God's Word. And when I begin to bless Him, even when I don't want to, I feel better. My spirit starts to lift because I'm getting in proper alignment. You know, sometimes we just need to line up. Get our soul and our spirit and in line with our mind and with our body, and make sure that God and His Spirit are what's on top. Sometimes our flesh gets on top, and that's never a good thing. That's never a good thing. Glory to His name. Do we have any testimonies this morning? Roxanne, I'm going to hand you the mic so you don't have to come all the way up here. Oh, there you go.
I just want to thank God. Almost 2 years ago, my husband and I decided to get married. It was like a last-minute thing. And I did research into see what our finances would be. And what the devil tried to say was the words, God has helped us to prosper. He showed us how to cut corners, how to insulate our trailer that we didn't know that we were even going to be there at the time. We got it for $100. They've just redone our gas bill. It went from $134 down to $49 on the budget a month. So God shows us His prosperity, even when the devil says, no, you're not going to prosper. God shows us His loving hands. And also last Sunday, Sister Carol prayed. There was some extremely uncomfortable things that are going on in our trailer park. And last Sunday afternoon, we had a rainbow come up over our trailer park. I've never seen the beginning of a rainbow. We saw it completely plain, of it coming up out of the trees and where it ended on the other side. And we also were able to witness the second rainbow appearing and be able to see it until it disappeared, where God has put His peace over the situation in our trailer park.
Yay, amen, amen. Wonderful. I want to share a testimony with you. Last night, I came up to the church because the fire alarm went off. Well, not the fire alarm, the burglar alarm. And we get a call. When the alarm goes off, we get a call, say, and they alert the police, and I'm supposed to drive up and meet the police, and it was in the late afternoon. Well, the alarm goes off at random times when it feels like it. If there's lightning, it'll go off. Well, I got up here, and lo and behold, the power was off. There was no power to the building, and somehow it set the alarm off. So I met the policeman, and I went home and thought, well, I hope we have power tomorrow. And I came up in later in the evening to see if the power was on, and there was a National Grid truck out here, and I went down, and asked the guy, I said, well, is there any hope that we're going to have any power tonight? He said, oh, well, somebody cut down a tree and took a whole bunch of lines down, and they didn't tell anybody, and I had to go find him, and I'm waiting here for some help. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, that's going to be 5 hours. I said, oh, God bless you. I'm sorry, because it was already like 9 or 10 at night. I don't remember what time it was. So I just said, God bless you. And I said, Jesus loves you. And I came up this morning. I saw it was early this morning, so it was still dark, and the light was on in the front of the church. I'm like, yes, we have power. I pulled the door open, woo, 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 and the alarm goes off, and it will not shut off. And I went to the keypad, it would not shut off. I get on the phone, what do I do? You have been found as a robocall, and this call will be disconnected. Click. So I called again. I called again, and I talked with somebody for a few minutes, and I said, how do I set it? And he goes, well, I don't really know. I'll have to transfer you to somebody else. And he put me on hold, and it says, this is a robocall. You will be disconnected. Well, after that happened 4 or 5 times, I finally talked to somebody, said, you're just going to have to talk to customer service, and they aren't around until 8 o'clock. I'm like, great. Woo, woo, woo. So I went over to the keypad, and I just started hitting things at random. And I did something, and it all stopped. I don't know what I did. I punched some numbers in, and then I saw at the bottom, it says reset at the bottom, and I had been trying the reset button. Well, I pushed the reset, and all the lights went green, and it stopped. And I was like, that was the mercy of God, because I don't know what I punched into that thing. I was talking with Jeannie on the phone, and I'm punching in anything. I'm like, I make it stop, and it did. So, glory to God. We don't have to listen to woo, woo, woo. And we have lights and electric and some heat and some screens today. So glory to God. He is worthy. And he helps us even when I'm a little testy with customer service. We have a service coming up September 29th. Ed mentioned it this morning. It's with Phil McNeil. He is the new president of Elam Fellowship. And Tom Brazell contacted him and just said, hey, you know, you're the new president. Don't you want to come down and speak at our church? And he said, sure, when can I come? He is a very prophetic person, and we're expecting him to minister in the prophetic while he is here. I'm very excited. We're going to have him for 2 services, Sunday morning, 10:30, and then Sunday evening at 6:30. So if you would begin to pray over that now, it would be wonderful if we heard the word of the Lord for the direction and the future of our church and what God wants to do. I'm not sure how all of that will unfold, but I believe that God wants to speak to us. So be in prayer for those services. I'm really excited. The last time I saw Phil McNeil, he was a student at Elam. And he was singing with a group called Praise Song. And I think that's the last time I saw him. I won't tell you how long ago that was. Well, just saying that tells you how long ago it was. So anyway, we're going to be very excited to have him. Okay, and I'm excited we'll get to have coffee fellowship today. Hopefully you can stay and visit with people. It'd be wonderful. All right, so I'm going to begin today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, but we have the scriptures up on the board as well. I'm starting with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And, there it is. As a prisoner in the Lord, then, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. And then for Colossians 1:10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Have you noticed that the Bible has a lot to say about walking? The Bible talks about walking a lot. And the scriptures consistently talk about how we should or shouldn't walk. Now, the Greek word in both of these scriptures for walk is the word peripateo. And it's an interesting word because sometimes it can be literal and sometimes it can be figurative or metaphorical. Sometimes it means literally to walk, just to walk. But then at other times it has a different meaning. If you read Acts 3:8, Peter and John go to pray in the temple and they lay hands on the lame man and he gets up and he's walking and leaping and praising God. That's peripateo. He's literally walking. When the disciples were walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, peripateo, he's walking. But this is not the same. Other times it takes on the metaphorical meaning also implied in the Greek, and it means literally to regulate your life. It means to conduct one's life, to how you live. Peri means around, and pateo means to walk. So how you walk around, how you move around in your life. And as we live our lives, we always have lots of things to do. There's always lots to do. Do you have lots of things to do? Do you feel like, I know some people tell me, yeah, I couldn't wait till I retired and have more time, and now that I'm retired, I'm busier than when I was working. I don't know how many people have told me that. I'm so busy all the time. How we conduct our lives. As we live our lives, there's lots to do, and it's easy and sometimes necessary to just rush around from one thing to the next and try to get as much done as we possibly can get done. And really, that's my problem. My ADD mind, if you didn't know that your pastor is an ADD person, just stick around me for a little while or ask my wife. She's like, you can only focus on one thing at a time and you never remember anything else. That's what I am. That's me. But in my ADD life, I often find my value, I kind of derive my value in how much I do or I don't get done in a day. And if I get to the end of the day and I didn't get the stuff done that I really wanted to get done, I'm like, oh, this is a terrible day. I know my wife is a little like that too. She's like, I didn't get anything done today. But, you know, God is not impressed with how busy we are. Do you know that? He's really not impressed with how busy you are. I feel like I'm not serving God well if I'm not really doing a lot of stuff. I gotta be busy all the time. Well, God, now mind you, God does want us to be busy doing things. I mean, James 2 talks about faith without works being dead. Yeah, we should be doing stuff. God does care about what we do, but he cares as much or more about how we do it and why we do it as with how much we do. How you do it and why you do it is much or more than what you do. Jesus didn't run around in his earthly ministry trying to heal as many people as he possibly could because his time was short and he had to get to everybody and he had to teach as many sermons as he possibly could because his time was limited on the earth and he had to get his butt. It wasn't like that. Jesus said, I only do the things that I see my Father doing. And he was not in a hurry. When Lazarus was dead, he was not in a hurry. Jesus didn't rush from here to there and fill his days with as much as possible. He did what he needed to do and what God wanted him to do. So really, God cares about what we do, but more about how we do it and why we do it, and that speaks to our character. And I'm sure you've all heard about famous Christian leaders who have who are busy building big ministries and doing amazing things and for God, but behind the scenes, their lives were kind of in a shambles. And we don't have to get into that, but we all need reminders of how to walk, how to live, how to behave in a way that's worthy of our calling. In Ephesians 2, and if you have time this week, take a few minutes and read through the book of Ephesians. It talks a lot about our walk. In Ephesians 2, Paul talks about not walking as the world walks, the way we did before we received our new life in Jesus. And receiving, by the way, receiving your new life in Jesus doesn't suddenly make you perfect, but hopefully it sets us on the path to becoming more like Jesus. Then in Ephesians 4, he talks about not walking like the pagans do in of that time, in their sensuality and in their greed. And then we get to Ephesians 5, which we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at today. In Ephesians 5, Paul warns about walking in darkness. What happens in darkness? Well, we know that Satan and his minions, that's where they like to hide, where they can't be seen, where things happen, and we think somehow we can hide from God, because it says, but in him there is no darkness at all. But Paul warns us about walking in darkness, including sexual immorality and covetousness, coarse talk, and other such behaviors. You can read all about it. So it is important for us to remember how not to walk. It is important for us to remember how not to walk. But what I want to do today is spend more time on looking at how we should walk, how we actually should conduct ourselves. How do we behave in this life? And to do that, I'd like to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And Andy Myers, you're awesome. I'm reading it on the back screen. Glory to God. This has not worked for quite a while, but Andy got a new screen. He got it set up, and we've been tweaking it for a while, but he knows way more what he's doing than I do. All I know is it works. Ephesians 5, yeah, thank you, Andy. 15 and 16, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There are three keys in this passage that I'd like to highlight today about how we walk. Number one is walk carefully. And you'll notice in that previous scripture, it says, walk circumspectly. And if you look down at the New Living Translation that I have there, it says, so be careful how you live. The word circumspectly can probably be better translated as walking carefully. We just went to Utah to visit my family, and what a beautiful place it is. The mountains. What we think we have mountains here, we have little hills. They have mountains. Just incredible. Where my son lives in Heber, we're ringed in these just gorgeous mountains, and you can the sunrises and the sunsets are just spectacular. A couple of years ago when we were there, I took a trail walk with my son Robert, and one of the trails, it's kind of deserty where they live. It goes actually right behind their house, and he made a comment to me. He said, Dad, you're going to want to make sure you stay right on the trail. Don't get off the trail. I'm like, okay. And I'm walking along, and I look over on the side, and there's a scorpion. And I said, oh, okay. Now I think I really will stay right on this trail. He took us out. We took a three-mile hike into the woods to where they had hot springs. And I thought, 3 miles into the woods? It was worth it. It was so cool. We went into where these hot, natural hot springs were. There was a lower level, a middle level, and an upper level. And we went in and we went through the lower level, and we kind of landed in the middle level. And I really wanted to go up into the upper level. And everybody else was kind of happy to stay down there. And I said, well, I'm going to walk up to the upper level. And I heard in my spirit right away, do not go to the upper level. And I said, okay, Lord, is there some reason why I shouldn't go? But I really wanted to go to that upper level, so I sort of half ignored that. I started heading up, but I was on high alert. And I'm like, I really want to see this upper spring. And I get up there, and I get about halfway up there, and I look up, and over on a rock near the high springs is this great big snake. I don't know what he was, but he did not look friendly. And I down. I said, I think I'll stay here. Next time, Lord, I'd better listen. Oh, man. That was something. The Greek word in Ephesians 5:15 for circumspectly or carefully is akribose or akribos. It literally means exactness, extremely accurate, or without any deviation. And that carefulness, exacting intentionality about our path, really, it should be the daily reality of our lives and our ministry. Being careful in our walk is important to ourselves, our spiritual health, and everybody around us. And if you think your life doesn't affect other people, just screw up sometime and they'll tell you about it. It's important that we walk carefully, that we stay on the path, stay away from the dangers, walk in the way that we know that we're supposed to, because it injures us, but it also has the potential to injure others and injure the gospel when we don't. We need to be alert to avoid whatever might impair us from walking in the good works that God has prepared for us. Do you know that God has prepared for you in advance good works to do? Ephesians 2:10 says that He's saved us and set us on a path to do good works that He has prepared for us before. Have you ever thought about what that means? That means God has cool things for you to do for Him. Everybody does. It's not Pastor Davis called to do good things, or Brother Tom, everybody. God has given you good works. He's prepared them beforehand to do. But it's important that we walk carefully so that we don't impair that ability to walk in that, the individual gifting and calling that God has for every person. But if we generally speaking, the Old Testament talks about walking in God's statutes. Leviticus 26 talks about you must walk according to my laws and statutes, as He told Israel, verses 3 and 4. But Jesus then in the New Testament summed up all of those statutes. What did He say? He said in two commandments, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 12. 29 through 31, when they question, what's the greatest commandment of all? Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you wanted to have the joy of pleasing God, we need to be careful to do His work out of love for Him and love for other people. Walk carefully. Number two is, and there it already is, walk wisely. That scripture says, let us walk not as fools, but as wise. Paul wants us to walk wisely, not foolishly. The Greek word there for wisdom is sophos. Actually, it's asophos, or unwisely. And that word, it literally means wisdom. And remember, wisdom is something that's learned or taught. You're not born with wisdom. You know, there's a proverb, not a proverb in the Bible, a saying, people say with age comes wisdom. Well, I wish that was true. Wisdom might come with age if you learn something along the way. Hopefully you figured it out. You got it. But wisdom is what makes us teachable and open to correction. A wise person is teachable and they're open to correction. Much of the book of Proverbs, if you read it, is spent on contrasting wise people and foolish people. And it has no problem talking about people who they call are fools. What does the book of Proverbs say is a fool? A fool is someone who will not listen. They don't listen, and then consequently, they don't learn. The problem is they think they know. They don't need to learn anything because they think they know, but they're deluded. and they refuse correction and don't think they need to learn, and it leads them to destruction. And the ultimate end of a fool is destruction. Jesus exemplified wisdom for us. He was tempted by the devil. You'll remember he was in the wilderness for 40 days, and at the end of his fast, the devil came to him and tempted him. And the devil tempted him to take a foolish path or an easy path. Just bypass the plan that God has for you. Just throw your body off the top of the temple. The angels will catch you. Everybody will see it. And they'll know that you're the Son of God. All done. Yay. Just zap these stones. Zap. And they'll become bread and everybody will know that you're really cool. Just take the easy path instead of the path that Jesus knew he had to take. Well, Jesus recognized that, and he resisted the temptation. How? It is written. He quoted the scriptures. He used the word. He used that word. And that is wisdom. That is wisdom. In Luke 18:8, it says, Jesus said, "Pay attention, therefore, to how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him." You'll notice that Jesus does not say in this passage, "Take heed to what you hear." He does not say, "Take heed to what you hear." He said, "Take heed or pay attention to how you hear." It's not so much about what you hear, it's what you do with what you hear. It's not what you hear, it's what you do with what you hear. Do you take what you're hearing and apply it? Do you appropriate it? Do you put it to work in your life? Do you walk it out? When my kids were younger, sometimes on the way home from church, we'd get in the car. You know, we'd finish church, we'd hang out, visit, talk, they'd run around and play. And then we'd get in the car, and on the driveway down the hill, I'd say, "Okay, who remembers what the sermon was?" What was that about? And sometimes they'd say, "Well, Dad, I can't remember. What was it about?" And once in a while, I'd have to say, "Oh, I can't remember either." Whoops. Pay attention to how you listen. And, you know, Brother Tom said it today. He said, "A short pencil is better than a long memory." That is a great thing. Take notes if you need to. But get the word into you. You know, people, I know people who before they got saved read the Bible a lot, and it did not impact their life because it wasn't embedded in them. It hadn't taken root. They weren't walking in it. And the interesting part of the rest of that scripture, it says, "Whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away." Whoever has will be given more. So as you incorporate the Word of God and you let it work in you and you begin to walk in it and you walk in wisdom and you become teachable and correctable and alignable, then God can give you more. "Oh, I want more. Like, come on, Lord." And sometimes the Lord's like, God is like, "Well, you haven't learned the lesson I'm trying to teach you yet. The one I'm right now, learn this one." Like, okay, Lord. Hold on to the word. Take notes if you need to. And that doesn't just mean what I say. And apply it, but do it. And that is wisdom. Being teachable and correctable. And lastly, walk urgently. Walk urgently. Verse 16 says, of that verse that we were looking at, says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I'm going to go back, see if I can find that. There it is. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Or I put an alternate verse at the bottom there, verse 16 in the New American Standard. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. There's a sense of urgency in this scripture. And, you know, none of us knows how much time we have left. I don't mean to be fatalistic, but it's true. None of us knows how much time we have left. None of us knows how much time anybody else has left. And it doesn't necessarily convey the urgency until we see the reason. The reason is because the days are evil. The Greek term there for evil is poneros, and what that word literally means is a wicked desire to do harm. It's not just it's kind of an evil time, but there is a decided desire in the hearts of some to do harm. And this spiritual dynamic of evil is pervasive and threatening in society. If you haven't seen it, turn on the news. We've just seen evil openly paraded around the world in our country. Evil behavior, evil actions, murders, school shootings, my goodness. So there's a need for us to pray and act urgently as Jesus did. Now I gotta jump ahead. Matthew 9, 36 and 37. When Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Jesus is showing his great compassion for what he called the harassed and helpless. It's kind of like a child that doesn't know any better, doesn't understand the danger of just running out into traffic. I remember always telling my kids, "Get back here!" You know, you pull them away because they don't have any sense that they're running into danger. And the majority of people today have no idea that without Jesus they're running toward eternal punishment. They're running toward the end. They're not just walking, they're running headlong toward it. And we often think of this urgency really here as a passion for souls. And like everything else, you know, there's times where we just don't feel like it, you know, reaching out to people and sharing the gospel, but we walk by faith, not by our feelings. And it's important for us. I hope I put that up there. I did. Ephesians 4:2, he tells them, preach the word. No, that's not right, is it? Is that Timothy? I think I put the wrong scripture up there. I think it's Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be prepared, or the King James says, be instant, in season and out of season. Be ready to share with people. Be instant. Be ready. There's a sense of urgency because we don't know. And the gospel is the lifeline for people. Take every opportunity you can to share something of Jesus with people as you come into contact with them. Walk carefully, walk wisely, and walk urgently. Father, in Jesus' name I pray that you would help us first to be careful in our Christian walk, Lord. Just as Jesus was tempted, we know that we get tempted and the enemy wants us to stray off that path where there's danger, where there's disrepute for the gospel, where people get hurt, where we get hurt. Help us, Father, to stay on the path, to keep with your commandments, to walk in a way that is always pleasing with you. Help us, Lord. And help our hearts to be soft when you convict us that we've gotten a little off. Help us, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk wisely. Help us to be people who are teachable. Lord, help us to be able to put aside our own pride and our own idea that we know what's what, or we know what to do, when we really need to be teachable and corrected. Help us to be willing to be corrected when we need to be realigned and put back on a right track. And Father, help us to walk urgently. Help us to walk in a way, Father, because none of us knows that our times are in your hands, and none of us knows the end of our days. Help us to redeem the time, to be careful with the time that we have, to do all that we can to serve you in the best way we can. Father, we thank you that you give us the grace to walk. Help us to respond to your Spirit in each of these ways. And Father, I pray that as we go today, that you would bless our fellowship, bless our time together, and help us to lay hold of your word, Lord, and to incorporate it and let it change our hearts and lives. Help us to be careful how we hear. How we hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today and you would like prayer, the reason we call ourselves the Full Gospel is because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here needing prayer today for any needs, spiritual, physical, or emotional, someone will be here to pray for you. Otherwise, please stay for a few minutes and enjoy some coffee and some fellowship with people. God bless you.